The Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 26th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. LGBTQ plus groups are celebrating President Joe Biden's executive order, reversing a Trump-era ban on transgender people in the military. We get more from Suzanne Potter.
The ban, which took effect in April 2019, prevented transgender people from enlisting, joining ROTC, or attending military academies. Rick Chavez-Zbur is with Equality California, which sued to stop the ban. He says the policy hurt individuals and the nation as a whole.
It was also harmful to the country because it deprived our country of talent and really harmed military readiness.
Former President Trump imposed the ban in July 2017, but it was tied up in litigation for 2 years until the Supreme Court allowed it to take effect. Trump argued that the military should not have to pay for people to go through the transition.
A UCLA study estimated more than 15,000 transgender people were on active duty as of 2014. The order requires the Department of Defense to correct the record of anyone dismissed for their gender identity. President Joe Biden Monday offered his most extensive comments since taking office on former President Trump's impeachment trial, telling CNN, "I think it has to happen." Biden made the comment during a brief one-on-one interview. He acknowledged the effect it could have on his legislative agenda and the cabinet nominees, but said there would be a worse effect if it didn't happen. CNN notes that Biden's comments came the same night the House impeachment managers formally triggered the start of Trump's second impeachment trial, making Trump the first president in history to be impeached twice. And there is a renewed bid in Ohio to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour.
State Representative Bridget Kelly, a Democrat from Cincinnati, is asking colleagues to co-sponsor a bill modeled after a recently passed ballot initiative in Florida. The Ohio measure calls for the current wage of $8.80 an hour to be raised to $10 in 2022. It would then increase every year until hitting $15 in 2027. Kelly says too many working Ohioans can't make ends meet, including some full-time workers.
We can't continue to bury our heads in the sand. We need to be modernizing our minimum wage, creating a pathway for people and families to be able to take care of themselves and to be able to meaningfully participate in our economy.
Two Democratic state senators, Cecil Thomas of Cincinnati and Herschel Craig of Columbus, are introducing a companion bill in the Senate. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden wants to more than double the current federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. It's been stuck at $7.25 since 2009. Mary Sherman reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
This is PMS. Coloradans who lost jobs or income during the coronavirus pandemic may qualify for the Federal Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, when they file their 2020 taxes.
Kelly Wagner with the group Get Ahead Colorado says it's an opportunity to get as much as $6,600 into the pockets of struggling families earning $57,000 a year or less. Even before the health emergency, one in four eligible families in Colorado missed out on getting the federal cashback refund.
We want to make sure that families, especially during these hard economic times as a result of the pandemic, that they're getting as much cash back as due them. And they can do that by filing their taxes for free and claiming the earned income tax credit, child tax credit.
Colorado matches 10% of your total federal EITC refund, and a new state law extends that match to workers with individual taxpayer identification numbers. I'm Eric Galatas.
And New Hampshire residents older than 65 and those with two or more underlying health conditions now are eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine.
It also includes caregivers of children with underlying conditions, residents and staff at facilities for people with developmental or intellectual disabilities, and corrections workers and staff. Nearly 200,000 people have registered to get the vaccine since Friday, the first day people in 1B were eligible to do so, and 60% have scheduled appointments, according to Scott Schuler, the COVID-19 response commander for the Seacoast and Stafford County Public Health Network.
Right now, we have about 17,500 doses coming into the state a week, and we have about 300,000 people who fit in the 1B category or phase for vaccine distribution.
Schuler says the state recommends registering for an appointment at vaccines.nh.gov, but if someone doesn't have access to a computer or is uncomfortable registering that way, they can call 211 for assistance. I'm Lily Bolke.
Finally, our Eric Tegetoff tells us a Treasure Valley program is helping young women from refugee communities into the workforce and hopefully narrowing Idaho's gender pay gap.
The Starling Project from Economic Opportunity by Janice pairs mentors with college women ages 18 to 25 who arrive in Idaho as refugees. Senior project manager Rachel Axman says one of their most impactful programs is wage negotiation workshops. She notes that salary negotiations are cited as a major reason why the gender wage gap persists.
When women start to negotiate earlier and negotiate better earlier and they get those higher wages, it impacts them positively for the rest of their career.
Unfortunately, COVID-19 likely will exacerbate inequalities for women. Women have left the workforce in greater numbers than men since the pandemic began. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.